Welcome all to Ashley Heights Church of Christ. Welcome to all the visitors, and I want to thank all the men of the congregation for giving us the opportunity to bring God's Word to you. Today we're going to be talking, originally I had a different lesson actually planned, but my computer broke down and I had to scramble and redo it. So I'm doing a different lesson that I wasn't planning, but this is something I've been thinking about for a long time. I was up here maybe 6-7 months ago doing a lesson. The lesson went fine. But as I was closing the lesson, I misspoke some things. One of the things I said was in my closing was that I brought this word to you, and I don't know the exact words I said, but this is kind of what I say. I brought this word to you. I invite you to come forward as we sing. Who is the focus on when I say that? I. Had nothing to do with words God, the word of God. The word I. I focused everything, what I messaged when I ended it, was on me. And usually after I do a lesson, I ask my wife, so how did I do, honey? And she's like, there's something she could change. And she told me that. But what was really even interesting more was the person did the closing prayer after I said this. One of the first things they prayed about is about being humble. And usually when I listen to a person saying, but it doesn't really, I don't catch on that quick. Brother Nathaniel had the closing prayer. And he says he prayed for humbleness. And after what my wife said, and after what all what Brother Nathaniel said, you know, I wasn't humble. Because I made everything in that, what I said in that closing about me. Nothing about God. So today's lesson is going to be about humbleness. Because I've thought about this for a long time. A good 6 to 8 months now that I've been thinking about it, because it's been bothering me. Because a lot of times, we are not humble. We don't understand what even humbleness is a lot of times. Because humbleness is kind of a hard term to explain. I looked up definition. And there's two definitions that kind of made sense. The first one is having or showing a modest or low esteem of one's own importance. The other one is ranking low in a hierarchy or scale. Which, there's a lot of words, but not really what it actually is. The best definition, though, I heard, is what it's not. It's not being proud. Not being haughty or not being arrogant. But that makes a lot more sense. And when you are humble, you don't make it about yourself. That's what it comes down to. You make it about others. It's not about you, what you have done, what you haven't done. It's about others. If I come up here and say, you know what, we have a men's meeting coming up within a week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever it is, and I say, you know what, I can give $30,000 a year to the treasury. Everyone should do the same. Because I can do it, you can do it. What am I exalting here? How much wealth I have. Nothing about that. If I say, you know, we have some shut-ins. I brought it. Next time I'm here, I'm going to say, you know what? I've been giving all this time, making all this food for all these people. Am I being humble? No, I'm not. Because I make it about myself. A lot of times we do it. A lot of times it's not intentional. On my part, what happened, it wasn't intentional. But we lose ourselves in what we are saying, and we make it about ourselves. And it happens all the time. I'm sure that has happened to you. If it hasn't, I am a better person than I am. Because it happens to me a lot. And especially when I'm talking to people, I tend to make it about myself. I find it about myself. After Brother Nathaniel's his prayer and after what my wife said, I realized how much I do talk about myself. How much I make focus on myself. But as a Christian, what should we be focusing on? You know, there's a lot of examples in the Bible. Go ahead and open your Bibles, if you can, to John 13. We're going to read the first 6 verses. And it reads, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all the things to his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. The king of the world, the Son of God, washing people's feet. Imagine that. The king of the world, the Son of God, washing people's feet. If that's not an example of what humbleness is, I don't know what can be. Humbleness is one of those things that something that's done, it's not done for yourself. Jesus didn't have to wash their feet. They should have been washing his feet every day, of every minute. That's what we should be doing about Jesus. But here's Jesus doing that for someone else. You know, we talk about Jesus all the time. Look at how Jesus humbled himself for us. He was in heaven. Came down here for us. To die for us. To follow God's plan. So that we could be in heaven. That's humbleness. Did he do anything for himself in that? No. He did about two things. About glorifying God and for us. That's what humbleness is. That's the definition of humbleness. Jesus' life, giving it for us. That's humbleness. Jesus was not gaining anything for himself. It was all for us. That's what humbleness is about. Not making it about ourselves. It's about making... It's about others. Now, let me show you what some examples of what humbleness is not. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke 18, and we'll read the 9 through 12. And it reads, "Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like the other man, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess.' I was used, let's see, how many times here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5 times. That's a lot of eyes. Who was he glorifying in that? Was it God in any way? He was preaching to God about how great he is. Who was he glorifying? It was all about him. That is not an example of humbleness. That's arrogance. And that's what we need to strive to get away from. Now, go ahead and open your Bibles again to Numbers 12. We're going to read the first 8 verses. And it reads, "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, 'He has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses. Has he not spoken through us also?' And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who are on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, 'Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting.' So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, 'Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?'" Now, who was humble here? Moses was. But his brother and sister were not. Even though they saw the power of God, even so, what the kind of relationship God had with Moses, they wanted up. That's what they wanted. They were jealous. That's what they wanted. They were putting themselves up higher than they were because they couldn't submit to Moses because they wanted the power. Korah is another example. If you read about Korah, Korah was from the tribe of Levi. He was a priest. Same thing. Was he humbling himself? No. Moses is one of the best examples as a human being that I could find as a humble. When he became God's prophet, he humbled himself. Except for one time. And we're going to talk about that just now. If you open your Bibles to Numbers 20, verses 7 through 12. And it reads, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water from them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and said to them, "Hear now, you rebels." Which is very interesting. We'll come back to that. "Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out of abundance, and the congregation and their animals drank. And then verse 12 reads, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring an assembly into the land which I have given them." Now, this was an omission on Moses' part. Did he do what God wanted? No. Was he punished for it? Yes. Did he say, "I'm greater than God"? Did he do what God said? He didn't use the word "I" in anything, but who to give him glory to by striking the rock? It wasn't about God. There's no God mentioned in what he was saying. Who gave him that power to do that? Now, I can totally understand how frustrated Moses was. You can tell he's frustrated. He called the people what? "Hear now, you rebels." And that's the course they were. Every time they go somewhere, they start complaining. Moses goes to God. God does a miracle for him. The process starts all over. And after a while, they probably get past him. I can understand why he's mad. But just because he's mad doesn't mean you can't glorify God. As Christians, that's the one thing that we should be doing, is glorifying God. And a lot of times we, by omission, by not thinking what we're going to speak beforehand, or some other reason, we don't glorify, make it about ourselves. When we teach others, how do we speak to them? Do we say, "Well, I do this and this and this"? Or should we say, "Well, God wants us to do this and this and this"? Who are we focusing on? Who are we putting everything on ourselves and taking glory in that by doing that? Or are we glorifying God? You know, Paul traveled through, wrote many, many letters. And did he glorify himself? The only time he did was when he was defending himself, when they asked about his authority. That's the only time I read that he actually spoke about who he was. He had to defend himself, who he was. Jesus. When does Jesus say the word "I"? There's only a couple of times. There's one time he says, "You have heard said," and then he says, "But I said unto you." But besides that, every other time, what was he saying? What message was he giving out? His message or God's message? Even Jesus was always glorifying God. That's how we should do it. If we are following Christ, that's exactly how we should view it. You know, an interesting life story is King Saul, the first king of Israel, of the Israelites. The man, when he was given the crown, hid from being crowned. He was so afraid of being king that he was hiding. How humble was that? Now look toward the end of his life. He thought he could do a sacrifice by the priests. He wanted to kill David. He didn't listen to God. His heart was away from God. Why was it away from God? Who did he put first in front of God? He put himself. He put the word "I" in front of everything. It's an interesting story how certain things can corrupt a person, whether they want it or not. That affects us. In all the world we live in, our power, money, you name it, that can corrupt us, make it about us. As Christians, we can never be about us. Because as Christians, you're saying that you want to make it about God. And that's the basic truth. And if you can make it about God, a lot of things will fall into place. Think about that. If you make it about God, a lot of things will fall into place. Because if you are humble about God, God will take care of you. Brother Tom read us a scripture reading. Go ahead and open your Bibles there again to 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 7. And it reads, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Think about that. Verse 6. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do we humble ourselves in front of God? Very simple. You make it about God. Your whole life, you make it about God. If you make your whole life about God, your life will fall together. It's an interesting way, but if you make it about yourself, will you ever have enough? Will you ever have enough money? Will you ever have enough cars, houses, whatever? Enough games? In my son's case, enough Pokemon cards? No, you won't. Because you always want more. But if you understand humbleness, you don't need any more except God. And it's a hard concept, humbleness is. Because it's hard to define it. We know what it's not. But the main thing about humbleness is not putting yourself first. It's about putting others first. About making sure that others are in front of you. You know, who's going to be the first person in line? You see little kids? Get some ice cream. They will push each other out of the way. How are you different as adults? Not that much. Now, someone said, well, my mom told me I should build something, or in the way I was raised, ladies always build first. Open the door for them. Yeah, but as humbleness, as Christians, we are always make about others. If someone is in need, it's about them. And it's not saying afterwards, hey, I did this. It's all about what I did. No, it has nothing to do with them. It's everything about exalting God. And there's many different ways we can exalt God. One way is by doing stuff for others. You know, I'm sure there are people here that take food to people that are shut-ins or maybe sick. I'm not going to get asked for raise your hands, but I'm sure there's people here that do here. I have never heard of anyone here saying, hey, I do that. That's humbleness. Because they're not doing it to gain anything for themselves. They're doing that for one simple reason, to help somebody out. And in that's what makes them humble. Because they're not thinking of themselves. If you start thinking about yourself, that's where we go wrong. And that's hard to do. Because our society tells us that that's where we should be. It's all about me, myself, and I. The three most famous people. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. Well, according to the Bible, it's not. It's about one individual only. That's God. And how we can please Him. Now, when I closed my last time, I misspoke. I did it on accident. And a lot of times when we speak, it's by accident. Because we don't think about the words that come out of our mouths. Because we want to get a certain message across. And we want to wrap it up. And we don't say the words that we need to. Now, I fall into probably a category more than probably anyone else I know. Because I don't usually say a lot of words. So when I want to get done, I want to wrap it up. But I do want to warn you that humbleness is a very important part of Christianity. It has bothered me for a long time. And I don't know how sometimes we get on that path where we make it about ourselves. And it's something that happens to all of us, whether we want to admit to it or not. But as Christians, there's a reason we were baptized. There's a reason we came to God. Because we want to be in heaven. If we want to be in heaven, we have to make our lives about God. And that's humbleness. If you become humble, I will guarantee you that you will be easier for you to follow God. If you make it about yourself, there's no way you'll be able to follow God. Because you're your own God then. You want to follow what you want to do and not submit yourself to anyone else. Marriage is a very interesting concept where one has to submit themselves to the other. What is submission? Humbleness. That's what we are when we are Christians. We are married to God, literally. We have to humble ourselves to His rules, to what He wants us to do.
today
we talked about Jesus a little bit, about the priest and his prayer, about Aaron and Miriam, Moses, Saul. Throughout the Bible, there are many examples of what humbleness is, what humbleness isn't. You know, one of the best examples I think of what humbleness is not is the king of Babylon and what happened to him. Why did God punish him? It was all about pride. Because he was like, look at what I have accomplished. He didn't accomplish anything. It was given him by God. You know, all the stuff that we have. You know, I remember when we came from Poland to the United States. All of our worldly possessions, then two suitcases closed, and all of our monetary value ended up to $100. All of our worldly possessions. But you know what? We were living home. We thought we'd be great. We're a middle class family back at home. You come here, and that doesn't add up too much. It humbles you when you realize that what you really have, and what you could value it, is really not that much. And as much as we came to this world, maybe we're going to leave this world. So all this other stuff, it should humble you that it's not me. There's only one thing that's here, and it's God. And God will provide if you humble yourself under Him. So if you... Because I'm going to close this off now. I don't want to make another mistake again. So if you want to respond to the words that have been said, if you want to respond to the Word of God, and you need to come forward for any reason, we invite you now as we sing a song that has been selected.